Luke chapter 16 is where we will read. Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. As you're getting that, the last hymn we sang tonight reminded me of Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Praise God that we're here tonight because Jesus Christ went to the cross, shed his blood, and has redemption for each one who will receive him. As we think about the horrors of hell tonight, and we see a passage on the rich man and Lazarus, a very true account, one that happened. Don't forget, God really doesn't send anyone to hell. After the golden text of the Bible in John chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." It's everyone's choice. Let's read tonight from Luke chapter 16, 19 through 31. "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man died also and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." All who are able, we're going to kneel for prayer.
Tonight we're going to be talking about one of those four-letter words. One of those four-letter words that many people enjoy saying, but relatively few people want to seriously consider. You know, as I have observed people in their conversation, they seem to be experts on the subject. I've heard people say, talking about hell, they refer to something being hot as hell, which kind of makes sense. We know that hell is a warm place. But then I've heard some people say it's cold as hell. Now, I don't think they have any concept of what hell is. The word is used to describe something that does not look very nice. And there again, hell doesn't look very nice. But most of these people that talk in this way, now I'm not the judge, but I have to wonder how many of them are headed in that direction. You might say, well, how do we know that? But we do know that not many people are going to be in heaven compared to how many people are going to be in hell. Because what? Broad is the gate, and wide is the way that leadeth to destruction. How many are going to be in there?
Many.
And what about the people that really think they're doing something? What's Jesus going to say to them in that day? I never knew you, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Hell is real. But many people fail to understand that and fail to accept that. Why do people not believe in hell? There are two reasons, not the only two reasons, but there are two prevalent reasons. The one is restorationism. And if you don't know what that word is in relation to hell, don't feel bad, because I would not have either before I studied for this sermon. But restorationism is the belief that God is love, and that a loving God will not send anyone to hell, and that he will restore all people to fellowship in heaven. Restorationism. If you study the Bible, you know that's not true. But people would rather believe a lie than believe the truth. Presentism. Some people try to say that we're experiencing hell here on earth. Some people have a rough time of it here on earth. Some people have going through some very difficult situations. I've heard people say, I've been to hell and back. If they go to hell, they're not coming back. They're going to be there. And we'll look at some verses that support that. 75% of people believe there's a hell, but only 4% think they have any chance of going there, according to one survey. Dr. Morris Rawlings, a noted coronary care doctor, writes of his conversion to belief in a literal hell in Beyond Death's Door. In 1977, he was giving a stress test to a man who was having chest pains. In the middle of the test, the man dropped dead on Rawlings' table. And Rawlings and several nurses began to work on him. Dr. Rawlings began external heart massage while a nurse began mouth to mouth. The patient would regain consciousness, and then, well, Dr. Rawlings reached for the equipment, would die again. And each time he was resuscitated, the patient would scream out, I am in hell. And Dr. Rawlings thought that he must have been in so much pain that it felt to him like he was in hell. But then the patient gave a strong command. He said, don't stop. This shocked Dr. Rawlings, because most of his patients who experienced resuscitation said, stop, it hurts. It's hurting my body. Rawlings describes the man with a genuinely alarmed look on his face. He had a terrified look, worse than the expression seen in death. This patient has a grotesque grimace, expressed sheer horror. His pupils were dilated. He was perspiring and trembling. He looked as if his hair was on end. Then still another strange thing happened. The patient said, don't you understand? I am in hell. Each time you quit, I go back to hell. Don't let me go back. You know, this incident was so powerful that Dr. Rawlings would become a committed Christian and write a book chronicling patients who, after being resuscitated, told stories of demons and pits and fire. He concludes by saying, now I am assured that there is life after death, and not all of it is good. So the Bible tells us there is a hell. There's also some other terms in the Bible. We read of Hades. What is Hades? When the unprepared soul departs this life, do they immediately go to hell? In Luke chapter 10, verses 12 to 14, there's an interesting situation there. And Jesus is saying, it will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles had been performed in Tyre and Sodom which occurred in you, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sodom in the judgment than for you. How does that work? Here's some people that are going to be punished more severely than other people. Are they sent to a different hell? I don't have answers to all those questions. But as we go through the sermon, we'll see what Scripture has to say about some of those things. First of all, what will hell be like? Now, I don't plan to go to hell. And I know because of Jesus Christ, I don't have to worry about that. As long as I remain faithful to Him, hell will not be an option for me. But hell is a place for the unprepared. What will hell be like? And as we read this, as Brother Glenn read those verses from Luke chapter 16, I want to point out three clues of what hell will be like. And the first thing we want to mention is fire. And in verse 24, "For I am in agony in this flame." The place that this rich man went had fire. Now, we have all heard about victims dying in fires, a building, a home being burned, and someone perishing from a fire. It doesn't seem like one of the best ways to leave this life, to burn in a fire. It may be somewhat comforting that oftentimes these burn victims in fires probably die of smoke inhalation before the flames even touch their bodies, so it might be kind of a painless way to die. But it does end, at least on this side of eternity. Depending what their preparation was for eternity determines if they're going to burn longer after they die. Fire that will not be quenched and at the same time not consumed. Because it doesn't end. The fire will be worse than any fire that we have seen here on earth. It's going to last. It's not going to burn out. It's not going to extinguish. Second thing we want to take notice of is a little bit earlier there in verse 24. There's going to be thirst. The rich man was thirsty. What did he ask for? "Give me a bottle of water. Give me a 12-ounce soda." He said, "A drop." Now, I'm sure everyone in this room has been thirsty sometime. I remember a situation that I was very thirsty. We were in Jamaica. We took a long hike. We went down to the ocean, down over a mountain almost to get to the ocean. And I'm not sure why we did it, but we didn't take any water along. Nothing to drink, and of course you can't drink salt water. And our guide told us that upon our return, we would come to a little store and we could get something to drink. And I didn't know at the time, I sort of had an asthmatic condition and I kind of had a sore throat and I wasn't super healthy on that trip. And then I was super thirsty. We got to this place where the promised drink was and there it was closed. No drink. I didn't think I was going to make it. You know, this was in January, and I was used to the cold, and we were in Jamaica, and it was 85 degrees or whatever. We eventually got to the store that had the drink, and it tasted really good. Having a thirst that you cannot quench, that you can't do anything about. That's one aspect of hell. There's also going to be separation. And we see that in verse 26, when the rich man was calling to Lazarus, and he said, "There's a great chasm between us. There's no way across." Separation. And that's what hell will be like. Separation from God, possibly separation from loved ones. So we know that hell is going to have flames. But what else is going to be evident in hell? If you turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 8, verse 12. There's a few things listed in that verse. It talks about darkness. It talks about weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, I'm not quite sure how there's going to be fire and darkness at the same time. Fire normally produces some kind of a light. I have to wonder, though, if it's going to kind of be an eerie darkness. And maybe the little flicker of flames is just going to add to the horror of the situation. God is light, and in Him is no darkness And this darkness is going to be different than the darkness when we walk outside at night, because it's going to be physical and spiritual darkness. You know, darkness is something that's often associated with crime. When you pick up the newspaper or watch the news on your computer, if there's a shooting in the city of York, does it normally happen at 3 o'clock in the afternoon or 3 o'clock in the morning? Probably most times it's 3 o'clock in the morning. For many people, darkness brings a little bit of fear with it. With some of our children, I remember they were afraid of the dark, afraid to go outside, maybe even afraid to go upstairs. So darkness is not going to be pleasant. It is not pleasant in hell. It's not pleasant here sometimes. There's going to be weeping. Why do we weep? We weep because of sorrow, and sometimes we weep because of, many times, sometimes we weep with joy. Why will there be weeping in hell? It doesn't really say, but let's just consider this. It's not going to be pleasant, so you might weep from the pain, the agony that you're experiencing. You might weep from fear, and then again, you might weep because of lost opportunities that come to your mind while you're there. And then it talks about gnashing of teeth. Grinding of teeth is not real pleasant to hear, especially in the middle of the night when somebody grinds their teeth and you happen to hear that. And that's something that I do. Fortunately, I don't have to hear it because I'm sleeping. But gnashing of teeth is mentioned 7 times in the New Testament. And every time that it's mentioned, it's associated with hell. Probably an eerie sound. Probably a sound that sends shivers up your back. Now, with these kind of attributes, why would anyone choose this location? Why would anyone want to go there? So we looked at what hell will be like. We looked at fire, thirst, separation. There will also be darkness, weeping, and gnashing of teeth. Who's going to be there? In Mark chapter 16, verse 16, we see the unbeliever. Revelation chapter 20, verse 20, the devil, no surprise. Psalms chapter 9, verse 7 talks about the wicked, similar to the unbeliever. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 talks about fallen angels. And in Revelation 21, verse 8, liars and adulterers are mentioned as ones being in hell. Like I mentioned earlier, many people are willing to admit that hell exists. The issue is what keeps them there. I hope I'm good enough. I do a lot of good things. I try to say my prayers. Now we know that's not what it's about. There are a few folks that are headed for hell and probably know they're headed for hell and they really don't care. Spurgeon wrote, "It's shocking to reflect that a change in the weather has more negative effect on some men's lives than the dread alternative of hell." A few weeks back, I had an older gentleman in the office there with me. We did some business, and he liked to talk, and he was talking and about a few things, and I forget what got us on the subject, but he started to talk about religion. And he said he was a Catholic, and then he went on to tell me that he doesn't read his Bible anymore. And he also said he doesn't think there's a hell. Why? Because he's living in hell right now. Presentism. I said, "Well, my Bible tells me there's a hell." Well, he didn't say too much, and he left. A few years ago, about 2 years ago, I was in the office, and a Jehovah's Witness came in. My first Jehovah's Witness encounter ever. I often thought I wanted to have an encounter with one, and here he was. Of course, it was a duo, a fellow and a coach, a lady coach. And, yeah, I had studied Jehovah's Witness a little bit a few years before that. So they invited me to their Passover. No. Lord's Supper celebration. They invited me to the Lord's Supper celebration. And I said, well, don't you celebrate Easter? Well, yeah, we believe Jesus rose, but he told us to remember his death. So we celebrate the Last Supper. Okay, that can't find a lot of fault with that. And we went on to talk a little bit. And one thing that came out loud and clear was Jehovah's Witnesses do not believe in hell. And he said, he pointed me to a verse in Ecclesiastes, when you're dead, you're dead. And I was sitting there, and fortunately I had a Bible with me. And I turned to Matthew chapter 25, and I talked about the sheep and goat judgment. And I showed him what the Bible said there. And he said, well, he said, you have to remember, you know, the Bible was written and translated. And I said, no, wait a minute, you're pointing to verses and they apply, but when other verses don't agree, then all of a sudden it's a translation issue. Talked about hell. And he said, a loving God will not send a person to hell. I pointed him to the rich man, the story of the rich man and Lazarus. He said, well, yeah, it does say that. He said, but you know, the rich man asked just for a drop of water, he said. So that tells me that it wasn't really that bad. And I kind of laughed and I said, that tells me it was so bad that he was desperate for even one drop of water. Who will be there? The unbeliever, the wicked, the fallen angel. How do we get there? How does someone get there? Why doesn't hell scare some people? The power of sin is too strong. The pleasure of sin is too alluring. People want to live for the moment and forget the future. My mind goes back to probably 25 years ago. I was acquainted with a man. He was around 48, 49 years old. And he was telling me how he was up in New Oxford and on a Saturday night. He was at the Old Mill Inn. They had a dance going on there. And his remark was, he said, if hell is anything like that place was on Saturday night, he said, I'm going to have a great time. I can't remember the timing exactly, but I would say within a year, he died of a massive heart attack. When I got the news, it's the first thing I thought of. I wonder if he's having a good time now. And I sat through that memorial service, and I listened to that preacher speak like that man was in heaven. And from what I knew of that man, there was no way that he was in a right relationship with God. So how does one get to hell? It's pretty easy. You don't have to do a whole lot. You really don't have to do anything. We're born into sin. We have the sin nature. And if we do nothing, what is the punishment for sin? Death, eternal punishment. Hell. Why would a loving God do that? A loving God wouldn't do that. A loving God draws us to Him. A loving God made a way of escape, a way of salvation. Hell is a real place. Real people will one day find themselves stuck in the place. By choosing to reject God, we send ourselves to that hard place. Revelation chapter 20, verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Earlier in the message, I mentioned a two questions, and I don't have real clear answers to these questions, but the one question was, when a person dies, Do they immediately go to hell? And the other question was, is Hades different than hell? And there may be some here that are better studied on this than I am. Two things I want to point you to. In the passage that Brother Glenn read for us, in Luke chapter 16, Hades is referenced. In verse 23, in Hades he lifted up his eyes and being in torment. That was immediate. That's in the past. That happened. And that's referred to as Hades. If you go to Revelation chapter 20, talking about something that's in the future, in Revelation chapter 20, verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them. And then it says, death and Hades are thrown into the lake of fire, and if anyone's name was not written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. To me, the lake of fire is hell. Death and Hades are where a person goes when they leave this life. And then there's going to be a judgment, and then there's going to be the lake of fire, the eternal punishment, what we commonly refer to as hell. How do we escape? Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Salvation is the way to escape. For God so loved the world that what? He gave his only begotten Son. Why? So we wouldn't perish. So we wouldn't have to go to hell and suffer. The Lord is long-suffering, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And we know that all do not, but that is God's desire. That's what He would love to see. Hell is real, and a loving God will send an unrepentant person to that destination. Hell will be horrible. There'll be fire, there'll be thirst, there'll be separation, there'll be darkness, there will be weeping, and there will be gnashing of teeth. And how do we get there? We do nothing. But there's still time, because we're still alive and Christ has not returned. What should we do? Acts chapter 16, verse 31, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Sin is the problem, Christ is the solution. Tonight we want to give an opportunity for anyone that feels like they're not in a right relationship with Jesus Christ. For anyone that feels like they don't have the assurance that they are going to heaven. And may feel like they possibly could end up in this horrible place that we talked about this evening. I don't want anyone to go there. God doesn't want anyone to go there. But the fact is, there have been people and there will be people, as long as time lasts, that continue to find that place as their final destination. So we want to extend the invitation tonight. It's not just an invitation for the unsaved. If you have a need in your life, you want to make a rededication, please make your desire known by standing or coming forward. Brother Eric, what song do we have?
125.
In the green book, number 125.